All right, good morning. Today's daf is daf Lamed, Lamed Gimel in Menachos. We're back on Lamed Beis. We're towards the bottom of Lamed Beis, Lamed Aleph. Yesterday we finished off a discussion of Psuchos and Stumos. Right, I mentioned yesterday the general idea of Psuchos and Stumos in the Sefer Torah. Right, 669 Psuchos and Stumos in the Sefer Torah. These are kind of like paragraphs, beginning of a paragraph. I quoted the Rambam yesterday. The Rambam says that the basic difference between a psucha and a stuma is that the psucha always starts at the beginning of a line, always, right? So if the previous line ended at the end of a line, so you gotta skip a whole line and then start the next line after that. And according to the Rambam, the stuma always starts in the middle of the line. Okay, that's the
meaning to always end at the end of the line and drop a line.
You see, yesterday I presented just the Rambam's position. What I didn't present yesterday, for the purposes of simplicity, is I didn't present the Rush's opinion. The Rush totally disagrees with the Rambam in terms of what a psuch and a stuma is. The general idea is the same basic idea. The psucha is a hard break, and the stuma is kind of like a softer break. Generally speaking, the idea is the same idea, but in terms of the mechanics of how you do a psucha versus how you do an actual stuma, so the Rush disagrees with the Rambam. And so the Shulchan Aruch favors the Rambam's position, but the Shulchan Aruch says you should try to avoid it. Okay, and again, I didn't present the Rush yesterday, I'm not going to present the Rush today. And so it's a little more complex than the way I presented it yesterday. Okay. We talked yesterday about the mezuzah, whether the mezuzah is psuch or stuma. The Braisa says, quotes Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, who quotes Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir did a number of things. Rabbi Meir, first of all, he wrote on Duchsustus, which is the inside layer of the hide. He wrote it as a column. He made indentations above and below. And he made the parshias psuchos. He made them open. Right, so in other words, when you go from one parsha to the next parsha, so it's a hard break, not a soft break. Right, according to the Rambam, that means that the next parsha of Ahayah starts at the beginning of a line, which, by the way, is not what we do. But that is that's what we saw in the name of Rav Meir. So the Gemara says, and Rav Chananel quotes in the name of Rav, that the halacha falls like Rav Shimon ben Elazar, who quotes the name of Rav Meir. So the Gemara yesterday left us off with somewhat of a discrepancy, meaning, what do? Do we make our mezuzah stumas, arps, or psuchos? And the Gemara says, look, one thing to also take into consideration is the power of a minhag. Yesterday we talked about the power of a minhag, where we find that nowadays, the time of the Gemara, so the mezuzahs were written stumos, right? The break between the first paragraph of Shema and the second paragraph of Ahayah was a soft break. It was a stuma, it wasn't a psucha. So the Gemara says, minhag is very powerful, it's very important. Yesterday we talked about how when you do chalitza, the mitzvah of chalitza, so if Eliyahu HaNavi comes and says, don't do it with a sandal, we wouldn't listen to Eliyahu HaNavi. Right, unbelievable statement of the Gemara yesterday. We just wouldn't listen to him. Why? Because our minhag is to do it with a sandal, and so that's our minhag, so that's how we're going to do it. We're going to do it with a sandal, even if Eliyahu HaNavi tells us otherwise. So the power of a minhag is very powerful. So the Gemara says, so if that's true, so and our minhag is to do stumos, so we're kind of stuck. Meaning our minhag is to do stumos, to make our tefillin stumos, and meanwhile, we have a statement of Rav Shimon ben Elazar, who quotes Rav Meir, and Rav Meir actually made his mezuzahs psuchos, not stumos. Okay, that's where we got to yesterday. So the Gemara is going to give two answers to resolve this question. Answer number one, so the Gemara says, Rav Nachman Yitzchak Amar, mitzvah la'asosan stumos. We are in the Gemara Lamed Beis Lamed Aleph. We're about 10 lines from the bottom of the page. First words in the line is Rav Nachman Yitzchak, and the Gemara now is going to try to resolve how we make our tefillin. Do we do a psuchos or do we do a stumos? So Rav Nachman Yitzchak Amar, mitzvah la'asosan stumos. So he says like this, really the mitzvah is to make it stumos. Okay? Soft break between the first paragraph and the second paragraph. By the way, that's what we do. We make it stumos. The e of dinam psucha shapirdami. If, however, you make it psuach, you make the next paragraph a hard break between the first and second paragraph, shapirdami, that would be okay. Fine. Well, my psuchos de kamar Shimon ben Elazar. And now when we go back to the Brisa, and the Brisa says that I saw Rav Shimon ben Elazar. So what does it mean when he says that I saw Rav Meir do a psuchos af psuchos? Meaning what I saw is that Rav Meir allowed psuchos, but really the mitzvah is to make it stumos. I just saw him. I saw him, quote unquote, allowed to make psuchos. The Gemara says, okay, let's support it from the following. Okay, so now what we're going to try to do is support this position that in fact mezuzahs can be made, lichatchila, the mezuzahs should be made stumos. How do I know that? Because of the following. Sefer Torah Shabalu, Tfilin Shabalu, Ein Osem Mehen Mezuzah. Let's say if a Sefer Torah that's worn out. Okay, so the Sefer Torah is no good. It's old, it's worn out. And I'm going to put in Geniza, but let's recycle, right? Let's recycle, because we know that what I'm supposed to do is I'm supposed to take out the parsha. Sorry, the mezuzah is made up of two parshios. It's made up of the parsha of Shman. It's made up of the parsha of the Hayah. So you know what I'll do? I'll recycle. I'll take this old Sefer Torah. I'll cut out the parsha of Shema. I'll cut out the parsha of the Hayah. Now here's the tricky part. They're not next to each other in the Sefer Torah. And I'll stitch them together, okay? It's somewhat of a discussion, because generally speaking, we are of the position that a mezuzah has to be made out of one parchment. Okay, that's going to be an issue, but leave that aside for now. Okay, I'll stitch them together, and I'll make a mezuzah. Okay, so I'm recycling a Sefer Torah, and obviously it's just a fraction of the Sefer Torah, but I'll be able to use it as a mezuzah. Says the Brisa, Sefer Torah Shabalu, Tefillin Shabalu, Einos Nebehem Mezuzah. You can't do that, but listen carefully, because the Brisa gives us a very clear reason. Why not? Lefi She'ein Morid Mekdusha Chmur LeKedusha Kala. Because you can't downgrade in Kedusha. The problem is a problem of downgrade. A Sefer Torah has more Kedusha than that of Tefillin and that of Mezuzah. So the problem is a problem of downgrading. Now, the Gemara makes a very simple diuk. Hamoridin osin. The problem is downgrading. I can't downgrade. However, there's no logistic issue. If I wanted to, in theory, I could. Logistically, it's just a problem of going from Kedusha Chamur to Kedusha Kala. Now, that's not a small problem. That's a big problem. But aside from that, there's no logistic issue. So the Gemara says, now let's think about it. We're on the topic of Psucha versus Stuma. Amai, Hacha Stuma v'Hacha Psuchos. The Gemara says, okay, when you open up your Chumash and you look at the Parsha of Shema and you look at the Parsha of Ayah, are they Psucha or are they Stuma? Now, no one's really supposed to know the answer to that question. Meaning, right, there are a few of us who know it, but if I asked you, the Parsha of Ahayam Shemoa, Psucha or Stuma?
In my sitter,
it's Stuma. Huh?
In my sitter, it's Stuma.
In your sitter, it's...
That's the next line.
In your sitter, it's Stuma. Well, no, that's Psucha, by the way.
Oh, right.
Right? I know. It's a little bit confusing. Okay. So, Parsha Zekev, Perek Yed Aleph, Ayam Shemot Tishmol, Mitzvah Yashar Nochim, Mitzvah Yitzchem Ayom. Okay, some of you have said it already. Some of you will say it after Daf. Okay, it is Stuma. One of the great things, by the way, in the Art School Chumashim, right, is that it actually breaks up the parshios and psuchos and stumos. Meaning, you could just look at it, you'll see it has either a soft break or a hard break, and you know whether it's psucha or stuma. It's a neat little feature in the Art School. Some people aren't even familiar with the fact that it's guided inside, the psuchos and stumos inside. So anyway, v'hayam shemo stuma. Okay? So the Gemara says, so you see that, and what about the Parsha of Shema? Shema is in Veschanan, correct? Yeah, here we go. So Shema opens Psucha and closes Stuma. Okay, so that means that the paragraph of Shema, let's see if we can get this straight, the paragraph of Shema ends in the middle of a line. Right? The paragraph of Ahaya begins in the middle of a line.
Oh.
Okay. So, and that's Stumos. Okay? So the Gemara says that you see over here, so the Gemara says Dilma Lahashlim. So in the Sefer Torah it is stuma, as we just saw in both locations. In a mezuzah, if you're telling me it's psucha, then you have a problem. How can I convert from a Sefer Torah to a mezuzah if the Sefer Torah is a stuma and the mezuzah requires a psucha? So obviously the Gemara says that's going to be an issue, and the Gemara's response is Dilma Lahashlam. Rashi, Dilma Haida Dakinan Hamaridin Osin She'im Chasra Mitfilin Osin Mitfilin Mezuzah. So the Gemara says, well, maybe we're going from tefillin to mezuzah, meaning not from a Sefer Torah to mezuzah, but rather from tefillin to mezuzah. Right? That's one possible pshat. Tosfos gives another possible pshat, meaning maybe we're talking about just simply lines of the mezuzah, but not the entire paragraph. Okay, another possible pshat offered by Tosfos. Either way, the Gemara says it's not a compelling raya. All right, next bit. We're closing on the issue of psuchos and stumos. What's our minug? First of all, from the Gemara, what does it seem the conclusion is when we go from paragraph 1 to 2 in the mezuzah? What does the Gemara seem to suggest? Well, the Gemara seems to suggest it's a machlokas, but it seems from the conclusion stuma. It seems from the Gemara's conclusion that stuma is the way to go. Why? Because although Reb Meir was quoted as doing it psucha, but the Gemara says that he meant af psuchos, but really stumos. And the Gemara itself mentions that the minug is to make our mezuzah stumos. So from the Gemara, it seems like the conclusion is stumos. When you look at your Sefer Torah, when you open up your mezuzah, when you have a check, take a look at it, because now you're going to know what to look for, and you'll see that it's stumos. Okay? Again, because there's a machlokes between the Rosh and the Rambam exactly how to do psucha and how to do stuma, so again, I'm presenting it a little simplistically in terms of it, but the bottom line is that our mezuzahs are made stumos. Okay, next. Okay. V'hachapsa, dimla hashem, hamaridin osim. Next topic of the Gemara. Once again, it sounds like from the Braisa that in theory I can convert a Sefer Torah to a mezuzah. And the problem is a problem of Kedusha, meaning Sefer Torah is more Kedusha. But logistically, it's not going to be an issue. The Gemara says, I'm also bothered by that. V'hatayim will enter the Braisa. Halachla Moshe Messina tefillin al klaf. Mezuzah al duchsustus. Klaf ma'akam basar duchsustus ma'akam seyer. So the Gemara says, look, we have a halachla Moshe Messina. Okay, so, right, unquestionably, no sources, just simply, this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu, and Moshe Rabbeinu passed it on to us in tradition, and that's the following. You take a hide, the hide can peel into two parts. There's the exterior part, right, the part that's closer to the surface, right, to the skin of the animal, and there's the interior part. The exterior part is actually called klaf. The word klaf itself means to peel off. Okay, so the exterior part is called klaf. And the interior part, the part that is closer to the flesh of the animal, the meat of the animal, that's called duchsustus. Okay? I have nothing for you in terms of the etymology of the word. It's a funny word, right? Doubtful if it's a Hebrew word. Probably not a Hebrew word. Either way, so tefillin, we have a lach l'moshe m'sinai. That tefillin is supposed to be written on klaf, the external part, the part that when you peel, the part that's closer to the hair of the animal. And the mezuzah is written on duchsustus. So klaf b'makom basar, duchsustus b'makom seyar. And the Gemara just simply says, oh, klaf b'makom basar, meaning, and on which side do I write on? Okay? So when I peel them apart from one another, I write on the interior side of both. Okay? Hopefully you can picture. Okay? In other words, if this is a hide, and I'm splitting the hide into two, I write on here, and I write on here. So on the klaf, I write on the interior. The Gemara calls it klaf b'makom basar, meaning the side of the klaf that faces the meat. On the duchsustus, the interior, it's the side of it that faces the hair. Okay, so in other words, split, and I'm writing on the interior on both. Okay, so what bothers the Gemara now, the question is so simple, meaning how can I take a Sefer Torah or tefillin and convert it into a mezuzah when tefillin's written on the cloth, mezuzah's written on the chustos. So that presents a very simple problem. How can I convert when I'm supposed to be writing on two different parts of the hide? So the Gemara's answer is l'mitzvah. The halach l'moshe m'sinai is only l'chazchila. But b'di'evit, it would work if I wrote on either one. So the Gemara says, v'hatanya, but within another bright, so sheen apostle. So the Gemara says, if I'm a shana, if I make a deviation, if instead of writing on klaf, I write on duchsuchstos, it's pasul. And conversely, if instead of writing on duchsuchstos, I write on klaf, it would be pasul. So again, the Gemara says, it's not just a mitzvah, it's li'ikuva. It's significant, it's essential. So the Gemara says, b'tfilin. That deviation that turns and that makes it pasul is only by tefillin. The Hatayim, the Gemara says, I don't have the Braisa does not support that. Because the Braisa says, Sheena, Bein Bezeh, O Bein Bezeh, Pasul. That if I'm Mishana on either one, and the simple Pshan, the Braisa is, either Tefillin or Mezuzah, it's Pasul. So the Gemara says, Edi B'Tefillin, no. The Braisa is describing Tefillin, B'Hatikas Vino, Aklaf, B'Makam Seyar. It means like this. If I write on Klaf, but on the external side of the Klaf, on the hair side of the Klaf, that's pasul. That's disqualified. The hadikasvinu ar duchsustus b'makam basar. And if I write on the interior portion of the duchsustus, the side of the duchsustus that faces the basar, that also is going to be pasul. That's going to be disqualified as well. So in other words, we are suggesting now this pshan the braisa. So, but if I write on the right side, right? If I write on the right side, even though I wrote a mezuzah on klaf, which I really shouldn't. I should be writing on duchsustos. Or if I wrote tefillin on duchsustos, even though I wrote on the klaf, as long as I wrote on the right side, but the evidence would be kosher. The Gemara says that's one suggestion. The Ibaisema, second suggestion. Shina bezeh, bezeh tanaihi. Whether or not a shinui passels it is a machlokis tanaim. The time, the Gemara gives us a braisa. Shina bezeh, bezeh passel. According to the Tanakama, deviation disqualifies. If I write on the wrong cloth, or on the right, if I write it on the wrong cloth, meaning I write a mezuzah on cloth, or I write tefillin on duchsustos, it's pasul. Rebbe Achai Machshir, Mishum Rebbe, I'm sorry, Rebbe Achai Machshir, Mishum Rebbe Achai, Rebbe Chanina, Ramila Mishmed Rebbe Akiva, Rebbe Chanina. So the Braisa says that there's a second opinion, the opinion of Rebbe Achai, who says that it's fine, that it's okay. So you see that this is subject to a machlokas tanaim. So that could be another way that we could deal with the issue. Okay? So, quick discussion in the Gemara about which, what part of the hide I write on. So for tefillin, it's klaf. For mezuzah, it's the interior part, it's duchsustus. And we learned also that you're supposed to, on either one of them, write on the interior part, the part that's separated from one another. For both the klaf and duchsustos, and the Gemara ends off by quoting a machlokas tanayim. What if I create deviation? Meaning, what if I write tefillin on duchsustos and mezuzah on klaf? Is that pasul? Does that disqualify? And the Gemara seems to suggest it's a machlokas tanayim. Next issue. Okay, the amrila mishmei derabbi. I'm sorry, hamoridin osin. Okay, again, it's so funny. It's that one point that I can convert tefillin to mezuzah, or sefer Torah to mezuzah, and the Gemara says, but wait a second. We have another issue. And that is, now you can't because of Kedusha, but logistically you can. So the Gemara says, even logistically, isn't there another issue? V'habai sirtut. Okay. When you write mezuzah, there's a halacha that you have to have lines. Okay? And so what the sofer does is he takes a ruler and a little blade and he actually etches lines into the mezuzah. Now, by the way, you look at a sefer Torah, you're going to see that there are lines in the sefer Torah as well. Lines in the sefer Torah just make the sefer Torah look nice, right? It's a large piece of real estate, and so right without lines to follow, so the sofer can go all over the place. So it's preferable for sefer Torah to have lines, but that's just hiddur. That's just to make it nice. By mezuzah, it's one step above hiddur. It's halacha, the Gemara is going to say it in just a moment, I'm giving it away. It's halacha l'moshe misinai, right? Part of the oral tradition is that by tefillin you need sirtut. Interestingly enough, by mezuzah you need sirtut. Interestingly enough, by tefillin you don't need sirtut, okay, but by tefillin you do. And when I say you do, it's not a hider, it's not just an aesthetic issue. It's halacha Moshe Messina that you need sirta. So,
written, or is it like an indentation?
It's just an indentation. It's a scratch in the leather, in the hide. So the Gemara now says, okay, so how are you doing that? How are you taking a pair of tefillin and converting it to mezuzah? By mezuzah, you need sirta. Hamari denosin v'habai sirta damar of minyumi bar chilki amar of chama bar guri amar rav kol mezuzah she'enu misur tetes psula. If you do not make the lines for your mezuzah, it's pasul. Okay? So it's not an aesthetic issue. It's an issue of it needs it. And on top of that, Rav Binyamin says that it's halakha Moshe Mesinai. So once again, how are you able to convert from tefillin to mezuzah? Now, Tosus points out, couldn't we have just simply said that the tefillin had sirtut also? Meaning, I know that tefillin don't need sirtut, but can we just simply entertain the notion that maybe this particular pair of tefillin had sirtut? And Tosus, in the very beginning of the top Tosus, says, "V'im tomar dilma b'misartate v'yeshamar d'la yirigil nasartate sefer Torah tefillin kim d'la bay sirtut k'damina b'yusham b'perakam d'shabbos kol apatam endavar oseo nikra hedyot." Okay? Strong Gemara from the Yerushalmi. The Gemara Yerushalmi says that if something doesn't need it, and you do it anyway, so the Gemara Yerushalmi says you're a hedgehog. Now, it's a pejorative term. It's not so nice. Okay. So, in other words, so because tefillin and Sefer Torah don't require it, so therefore, they didn't. Their tefillin and their Sefer Torah did not have sirtut.
What's the purpose of it?
It's
tradition.
It's halacha Moshe Mesinai. Right? Does it carry a function? Well, for sure it carries a function also, because now you'll be running straight lines. But in addition to its aspect of having function, it's an integral component of the mitzvah that it needs to have sirta. Okay, so Tosfos makes the argument that their tefillin and their Sefer Torah don't have sirta. Our Sefer Torah do. Okay, that's its own separate issue. But meanwhile, so how can you do it? We're back to our basic question again. How could I convert a Sefer Torah into mezuzah? Sefer Torah doesn't have sirtut, and mezuzah does. So the Gemara at this point also makes another suggestion, Tanaihi, that this is subject to a machlokas Tanaim. D'tanya Rabbi Yehuda Amar, Mishum Rabbeinu, Tfilin, Mezuzos, Nichtava Shalom, and Aksav, Ve'ein Srichot Sirtut. So Rabbi Yirmiyah quotes in the name of Rabbeinu. Rabbeinu in the Gemara usually is a reference to Rav. And as I mentioned already a number of times, the halachas of Stam are brought to you by Rav. So he quotes in the name of Rav that tefillin and mezuzah don't require sirtut. And by the way, you could write it by heart. Shalom neksav. We'll come back to that in just a moment. The hilchasa and the halacha is tefillin by sirtut. That tefillin does not require sirtut. O mezuzah by sirtut. Mezuzah does require sirtut. V'idi nechtav shalom neksav. And both of them can be written by heart, meaning tefillin and mezuzah can be written by heart. The sofer doesn't need a template in order to copy the template. The sofer can just simply write it from his working knowledge of it. My taima, migras garcina. Now, as far as that's concerned, why can he write it by heart? Because we all know it by heart. Shema, we all know it by heart. Vayal, we all know it by heart. Although, if you asked me, can you write it? I probably wouldn't be able to write it correctly. Meaning with the chaseris and the aseris to know which vavs to add, which vavs not to add, right? I probably, and by probably I mean definitely, would make mistakes in terms of the chaseris and the aseris, but I'm not a sofer. I don't write, but for a sofer who's writing tefillin and mezuzahs all the time, he knows it. And so therefore, because he knows it, the Gemara says he can write it by heart.
Do we use the crowns on the same letters we talked about?
Right, for tefillin and mezuzahs, even though it's not a sefer Torah, yes, we do the crowns. Okay, so that's that. And as far as the Bryce on the previous page, how is it possible that we can go and convert a Sefer Torah to mezuzah? By Sefer Torah, there's no sirtut, and mezuzah is. So the Gemara says that's the machlokas. The Gemara calls the machlokas Tanayim, and then we go ahead and we quote Amarayim. But leaving that aside, it's the machlokas, and so the Gemara says, so we could just simply say the Braisa follows the position that they both don't require sirtut. Okay, more. Now, what's going to happen from this point forward throughout the rest of today's daf? Today's daf, by the way, is daf Lamed Gimel. I'm confused because we're learning Lamed Beis, but okay, we're a little bit behind. So, but what's going to be happening now is the Gemara is going to give us a number of punctuated halachas vis-a-vis a Sefer Torah, Tefillin, and Mezuzah. We're going to really focus mostly today on Mezuzah, right? Lamed Gimel is really Mezuzah day in Daf Yomi. Okay. All of Lamed Gimel is all about the mezuzah, but first a little bit more about a Sefer Torah. Amar Rav Chaba, Ana Chazisa L'Rav Huna. So Rav Chaba says here, I was watching Rav Huna, and I saw him do the following. Da'ava Yosef Apurya de Sefer Torah, Aleh. So what he did is, he was about to sit down on a bed with a Sefer Torah that was sitting on the bed. So in other words, Sefer Torah was on the bed, and he was about to sit down. But we all know, right, because we all speak Yiddish, Pasnisht, it's just not appropriate to sit, right, all of us, right, to sit on a bed with a Sefer Torah. So what he did is, the Kaf Lekada A'ara, he took a jug, he turned the jug upside down, V'anach Ala Sefer Torah, V'hada Yosef B'mita. So he turned the jug over, placed the Sefer Torah on the jug, and then he sat down on the bed. Okay, Kasavar, he's of the position, Aser Le Shave Al Gabe Mitash Sefer Torah Munach Alaha. You're not allowed to. You're not allowed to sit down on a Mita, on a mattress in which a Sefer Torah is on. Why not? So, cover Sefer Torah, right? So, a certain honor that you're supposed to have for a Sefer Torah, and it's not covered to sit on the same plane as a Sefer Torah. Right, the bed over here, interesting, bed over here, their furniture was slightly more limited than our furniture, meaning their bed was almost like a bed sofa, a bed, right, it's like a futon, if you will. So in other words, it was their bed, it was their futon, it was...
Didn't they usually have two beds, one to eat, and one...
That I don't know, but in other words, it was a bed over here doesn't just simply mean what they slept on. Now, Rabbi Barchana says you're allowed to, right? Quotes the name of Rabbi Yochanan, you're allowed to. Now, a very interesting way the Gemara is about to present this halacha. The im lachshach adam lomar. Now, let's say somebody whispers in your ear, meaning you're sitting down on a bed and the Sefer Torah is right next to you. Okay, you and the Sefer Torah are sitting next to one another, side by side. And along comes somebody, he doesn't want to embarrass you, so he whispers in your ear. Right? That's what the word lachshach means. If somebody whispers in your ear and says, you know, Maisa b'Rebbe Lazar shayo yoshev alamita, you know, Rebbe Lazar at one point in time sat down on the bed, v'nizkar she'sefer Torah munach alaha, and then looks next to him and sees that a Sefer Torah is sitting alongside him, Vinishmat v'yeshev agabe karka, and quickly jumps off the bed and sits down on the floor. V'doma k'misha hikisho nachash, and from that point forward, he had that look on his face like he was bitten by a snake, meaning it so bothered him that he sat down right next to a Sefer Torah that it. I'll use the term, you know, I don't even mean it as a pun. It like kind of paralyzed him. As if he were bitten by a snake. He felt that bad. So the Gemara now is saying, so you know, Rav Yochanan says you're allowed to, but what if somebody comes over and whispers to you that story? So what are you going to respond? I'll give you the response. Hasam Sefer Torah Agabe Karka Hava. They got the story wrong, right? It's the false reports of the story. It wasn't that the Sefer Torah was on the bed. The story goes that the Sefer Torah was on the floor, and that's why Rav Elazar looked like he was bitten by a snake. But had the Sefer Torah been on the bed, it wouldn't have bothered him. It's no problem with that whatsoever. Okay? End of that discussion. So, can you send a Sefer Torah with a bed? Machlok is in the Gemara. The halacha is you cannot. It's Asa Leishev Agabi Mitash Sefer Torah Munach Alaha. Right? A lot of shuls have benches instead of chairs. Right? Very often, right, you find yourself sitting next to a chumash, right? Some people just put the chumash right down on the chair. That's not right. You should take it up. Although, it's not right. Meaning, this is pick up the Sefer Torah and not sit down on the same bench as the Sefer Torah. Although, our Gemara over here is really talking about a real Sefer Torah, meaning one that's written on cloth and has a Kedusha Sefer Torah. You could make a distinction, but You and I both know Pasnish. It's not right to sit on the bench together with a Sefer Torah.
What if the Chumash is on the chair next to you?
On the chair next to you, I think that's fine. I think so. I'm Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. I don't know if that's going to... I don't know. I don't know if it's going to make a difference.
I think that's why sometimes they have raised sections if they put a Sefer Torah after when you look.
Right, so that you don't sit on the same plane. Right. Yes?
When did they write the Torah on that? When did they? Because it's not real Torah.
Meaning what? Meaning. Right, the Chumash is, this Chumash over here does not have the Kedusha of a Sefer Torah. I'm reviewing Rama Shmuel, Kasva Igeris Psula. Okay. What if you write your Sefer Torah like an Igeris? I told you already a couple of times, the Megillah is an Igeris. The right Megillah Esther is an Igeris. It's self-proclaimed Igeris, right? As a Igeris Azos. So the Megillah is an Igeris. It's a letter. Well, what's the difference between a letter versus a Sefer? I'll get to that in just a moment. But the statement of Yehuda Amar Shmuel is that if you write your Sefer Torah like an Igeris, it's pasul. It's no good. It's disqualified. Now, let me finish the Gemara first, and then I'll go to Rashi and Tosfos. No. It seems to be Sefer Torah, right? Just the context of the Gemara, because just finished up Sefer Torah. My time, I say ksiva ksiva mi sefer, because we learn it out ksiva ksiva from a sefer. Now, take a look at Rashi, right? Rashi kasva yigeres below sirtut. Okay, I'm sorry, you're right, by the way. We're talking about the tefillin, mezuzah. I have a choice of three, and I went to Sefer Torah, then I went to tefillin, and then only the third time around I got it right. We're talking about mezuzah right now. You're correct. So Rashi says, Kasva igeres. Rashi writes, Belo sirtot velo diktik bechaseres v'yaseres ki igeres ba'alma. Okay? So Rashi gives two explanations of what it means when it says that you wrote the mezuzah like an igeres. Rashi says, number one, you didn't write lines in it, like we just learned above.
Can you define what an igeres is?
Letter. An igeres is a letter.
Igeres from a parchment.
Huh?
What distinguishes?
You write it like an igeres, meaning you're writing on parchment, but you're writing it like an igeres, like you would write a letter. So Rashi says that means two things. Number one, it means that you didn't make lines, okay, to write on top. And number two is that, you know, you left out some letters, you added some letters. You know, when you write correspondence to one another, right, you're not that spelling, right, your friend is not going to check your spelling. I know your teacher's going to check your spelling, but your friend's not going to check your spelling, right? Certainly in our world that we text to one another, spelling's out the window, meaning, right, we don't, that's certainly, right, that's like, you know, Uber Igeris. That's like we don't spell anything anymore. So, but that's Rashi's pshat in the Gemara. So Toso says about Rashi's pshat. Wait a second. Writing lines in a mezuzah. Right. I'm sorry. And remember, how come it's no good? So I should read the next Rashi. So the Gemara says, because we learned it out through Gzereshava Ksiva Ksiva. Now the Gemara is not clear about what the Gzereshava actually is. So Rashi offers two explanations. Ksavtem Am is Zos, the cause of La Sefer Krisus. So Rashi's one possible Gzereshava is Uksavtem Am is Zos, that for sure, because we're learning about the halachas of mezuzah. And number two, the cause of La Sefer Krisa. So, Gittin, strange place to go to in terms of making Gzer Shavim. Inami, Ksov Zozi Karan Besefer. Ma Sefer by Diktuk, Av Mezuzah by Diktuk. Okay, so we learn it out through Gzer Shava. Rashi's second pshat is Ksov Zos Zikar Besefer, which is talking about the actual Sefer Torah as well. And we know that for Sefer Torah, you have to be careful about how you write the Sefer Torah. Tosa says regarding Rashi, I don't understand. Sirtut, 5 lines ago in the Gemara, was Halach LaMoshe Misinai. You don't confuse Halach LaMoshe Misinai with a drasha of Gzera Shava. It's not the same. Right? If you look at Tosos, Kasva, Igeres Pesul, Vaitama, Asik, Siva, Siva, Besefer, Perisha, Kanchos, Igeres, Below, Sirtut, Vikasha, Dela, Elam, Rinan, Sirtut, Shema, Zuzah, halacha l'moshe misina v'hacha yalef k'siva k'siva. Here we're learning out Gzeira Shava. Previously, we were learning out halacha l'moshe misina. It's not the same. It's not the same source. So therefore, Mefarsh Rabbeinu Tam. So here again, Rashi's grandson comes along. Igeres mikra v'lo mesoros shelo dikduk b'chaseres v'yaseros ela ki igeres ba'alma. Right, the igeris, the understanding of the word igeris means you wrote it without being careful about the chaser siseris. Now it's true Rashi writes that, but Rashi, in addition to that, talks about sirtut. Rabbeinu Tam basically says leave sirtut out of the discussion because that's halach l'moshe misinai. That's not learned out through a gzeira shava. Okay, back to the Gemara. Am Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel tala b'makal psula. Okay, we talked a lot in the Gemara about the halachas of writing a mezuzah. Now we're going to talk about the halachas of how to affix a mezuzah to your doorpost. Okay, so number one, what if I hang it on a stick? So in other words, I take a stick, I put the stick in the doorway, and hang the mezuzah on the stick. It's in the doorway. You know that's not going to work. So, but Talab b'makal psula. My time a bisharecha be'inan, because it needs to be bisharecha actually in your gateways. Ta'ina me'achi b'raisa as well. Talab b'makal shinicha achardos sakana ve'ein ba mitzvah. It's a sakana. It's danger. I, of course, being as pragmatic as I am, I would say sakana means you're going to trip over the stick. But Rashi writes. Rashi writes sakana min hamazikin sheina bais mishtamer ba achik ve'en b'tzuras haPesach keilchasa keshmira. We're going to see this idea a number of times by mezuzah. We all know it, but it's sourced. It's actually sourced in the Gemara that mezuzah provides, the shmira provides some sort of protection. And here Rashi says it provides the protection from the mazikin, from those things that destroy and damage. Mazik in the Gemara usually refers to spiritual destroyers. Okay? So, Shadim, right? Shadim, right? So,
what you just read, shouldn't it actually be in the door, like carved in?
Okay, we'll talk about that in just a moment. The Ein Ba Mitzvah. Now, so in other words, so two things. So number one, it doesn't provide the shmir that you were hoping. And number two, you didn't fulfill the mitzvah. And then the Gemara says that Munbaz, he travels a lot. And when he would travel, so he would put up temporary mezuzahs. Now, we wouldn't put it into the doorway, right? It's not his house, he's just renting. And as Rashi points out, and we're going to learn this later on in the fourth parak of Menachos, when you rent a place, you do not need to put up a mezuzah. You go to a hotel, you're renting a room in the hotel. You don't need to put up a mezuzah. I would if you rent a house. We'll talk about that later as well in terms of house rentals. But me'ikar adin, it doesn't require a mezuzah. So when he traveled, so what he would do is he would just simply put the mezuzah up on a stick. Now, based on what we just learned, as far as the mitzvah is concerned, it didn't require a mezuzah. As far as the shmir is concerned, so it didn't provide him the shmir as well. So what did it gain for him? I don't know. It's really not clear from the Gemara. The Gemara just simply says he did a zeich la mezuzah. Reminds him of the mitzvah mezuzah. Am Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel mitzvah l'niach b'soch halalo shel Pesach. Now, where do you put it? Front of the doorpost or on the side of the doorpost? Again, intuitively, we all know the answer because we all walk around and watch where the mezuzahs go. The Gemara says b'soch halalo shel Pesach. It has to be on the inside of the doorpost. Okay? Kind of like where you see all around. Pshita, the Gemara says that. Isn't that obvious? Bisharecha Amar Rahman. The Torah says it has to be in your gate. And Bisharecha means in your gate, which means that from the simple Psha, the Pasuk, it seems to be that it has to be on the interior of the doorpost. Amar Rahman, Asakada Chamina Hova Amar Rava. Mitzvah Lahanicha B'tefach HaSamach L'Rishos HaRavim. Now, we have a statement by Rava, which again we're going to see tomorrow. We'll see it again tomorrow. And Rava says that when you put it on, so you should put it on the tefach that's closer to the Rishus HaRabim, to the public domain. Meaning, as Rashi explains, let's say you have a really wide doorpost. Let's say your doorpost is 4 tefachim, 5 tefachim. You have a really wide doorpost. So now you have a large area in terms of where to put the mezuzah. Do I put it interior? Do I put it exterior? So Rava says, put it exterior. Why? So the Gemara will tell us, and Rashi over here quotes the Gemara. So the kadem paga mitzvah. So that when you walk into the door, the first thing you're going to hit is you're going to hit a mitzvah, the mitzvah of mezuzah. Good. So you might have thought, now that you know Rava's halacha, you might have taken it one step further. I know now that it has to be on the exterior of the, it has to be close to the exterior of the doorway. So maybe I'll think to myself, I'll go one step even better. I'll put it actually on the exterior of the doorway. So that's the Gemara says. That could have been our thought process. So, B'tefach HaSamach L'Rishos HaRabim, Kama D'Marchek Ma'aleh. So if I put it even further outside where it's actually on the exterior of the doorway, Kamashmalan, the Chiddush is that, no, don't do it there. Okay, but rather it's supposed to be on the interior. Now, what if I write the mezuzah? We're back to writing. The Gemara over here, I know it's just kind of like bouncing back and forth. We're back to the halachas of writing a mezuzah. You can't write in two columns. Okay, open up any mezuzah, you're going to see it's one column going down. Right? It's two parshios, but it's one column going down. You can't write in two columns. In fact, if you do so, the mezuzah is puzzle. Mezuzah, the Gemara says, I'm going to challenge you. Kasval shnei dapin v'hinichu b'shnei tzipin psula. The Brisa says that if I write in two columns and I put the two columns in the two doorposts, right? And the person thinks to himself, wow, I'm brilliant, right? Mezuzah on this side, mezuzah on this side. Oh, I'm a genius. So the Brisa says, puzzle, it's disqualified. But it sounds like from the Brisa that the issue at hand is I put it at the two opposite doorposts. If I wrote on two columns and I put on one doorpost, habisaf echad ksheira, it sounds like it would be okay. So the Gemara says no. Ruuya l'shnei tzipin kamar. So the Gemara says no. It's only fit to have gone on the two doorposts, but the two doorposts are not the issue. The issue is that you divided your mezuzah into two columns, and that the Gemara says is no good. You can't. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel ben mezuzah halach achar heker tzir. Okay, which side do I put the mezuzah on? Okay, so as we're going to see later on, I put it on the right side. Okay, but for every doorpost, there are two right sides. When I come in, there's a right side. When I go out, there's also a right side. And those two right sides are not the same right side. Right? Everyone follow? So which side on the doorpost do I put it on? So the Gemara, it's funny, the Gemara here is a little bit out of order. But the Gemara elsewhere tells us, we're going to see this Gemara hopefully tomorrow, that it has to be on the right side, Derech Bia, going into the entrance. Okay. So your front door, crystal clear. Meaning that there's a derech bia, meaning I'm outside the house and I go into the house, so that's derech bia. So now I know that I fixed my mezuzah on the right side going into the house. That part's clear. That's easy. Okay. Many times in your house, it's not clear which room is going into which room. Certain rooms have as much significance as the room right next to it. And so which room is considered derech bia? Okay? Significant issue happens in most houses, happens all the time. You bring your rav into your house, you give him a tour of your house. Okay? You right, hide the things, of course, that you don't want your rav to see, and then, you know, and then he'll tell you where the mezuzah should go. Now, here, it's a little complicated. But here, the Gemara now describes where you have a scenario where it's really ambiguous which room is going into which. So the Gemara over here says that, halach achar heker tzir. Look at the tzir, look at the socket. Now, my heker tzir, I'm Rav Ada Avakta. So you look at where the sockets are. I'll explain this better in just a moment. Let me first read the Gemara. Hechi dami kagon pischa de ben trei bati ben be gavrei. lebei nashe. The rooms separating the beigavri, the men's room, from the women's room. Okay, let's take a look at Rashi. Beigavri lebei nashe. Rashi writes like this. So a guy divides up his house. It's going to be basically the men's section in the house and the women's section of the house. And the women are going to have their own section in the house where they can do things privately and modestly. Now, okay, there's going to be a little bit of communication between the men and the women in the house. And there's going to be a doorway going from the men's side of the house to the women's side of the house. Okay. However, each one of them has access to the Rishos HaRabim independent of the other. Okay, so in other words, the women and their side of the house, they have a way to go outside. The men and their side of the house, they also have a way of going outside. So this doorway that connects the men's side to the women's side, okay? So which is considered an entrance to which? It's a fair question. The Amrina Lakama Mezuzah Derech Yamin Labia V'lo Liyitzia V'hacha B'Pesach Shemein Zula Zu Lo Yidi'in and High Lechshav Bia V'High Lechshav Yitzia. So the problem, says Rashi, is we don't know which one's going into which. Yitzia Mehai Lahai or V'I Mehai Lahai. Ella, so what do I do? So the clue of the day is going to be, look at the socket. Now, in our homes, this isn't really going to help us, because we don't operate our doorways the same way they did back in the good old days. Okay, so I understand that this is not going to translate well to our homes, but just first and foremost, going to understand the Gemara. Ela halacha chachur shebisaf shetzir hadel sovev bo hahutza shachur bo chashiv bayis v'derech yamin kishemachnitzim bo nosne mezuzah. In the good old days, they don't have hinges like we do. How did their doors turn? On a swivel, on a socket. The socket was placed into the ground and was placed into the roof. And so what their doorways did is that the socket went down and up, and that's how their doorways turned, kind of like in a restaurant. Although, I know our restaurants operate with these fancy hinges, but that's how they did it. Look at where the socket is. Because the socket's usually placed not in the doorway itself, but interior to a room. If that socket is in the room, so that means that's the interior. So going into that would be considered derech bia. That is Rashi's understanding of the Gemara. And as I mentioned already, I know it doesn't translate well to our doorways.
Where the socket is.
You put the mezuzah, that where the socket is considered the interior. Mm-hmm. Then it's considered you're walking into that. And so it would be on the right side walking into the socketed area. Okay, fine. Reish Galusa bought a base. Let's do a little bit more. Reish Galusa built a house. Amar Leila Rav Nachman, Kavali Mezuzah. And Reish Galusa did exactly what I just described. He called his local rabbi. His local rabbi happens to have been Rav Nachman. Okay, some local Rav. So Amar Leila Rav Nachman, Kavali Mezuzah. Amar Rav Nachman. Tali Dashi Beresha. Okay. The big issue. We'll finish up today with this issue and then we'll stop. So he says Tali Dashi Beresha. Now the way Rashi understands the Gemara over here, so what Reish Lakish, what Rav Nachman was saying to the Reish Galusa is you gotta put doorposts on first. I can't put the mezuzah first and then you put doorposts on. Now I can't fully picture this. Because what does that mean? He built the house, but he didn't build the doorpost yet? From Rashi, that's exactly what it sounds like. Right? You read Rashi inside, it's pretty much. And the problem with that is, tasev alomina asui. Right? That you first need doorposts, then a mezuzah. You can't go the other way around. First mezuzah, then doorpost, because you have to actively put the mezuzah on, not passively have it placed on. Okay? That is Rashi's understanding of the Gemara. There is a Rambam, controversial Rambam, and he walks away from this Gemara with the following. The Rambam writes, sixth perek of Hilchos Mezuzah, Asar Tanaim Yesh Babayis. There are ten. Thank you. Ten conditions in a house, V'achakach Yischayev Hadar Ba'olasos Lo Mezuzah. And once these ten conditions are fulfilled, then you need a mezuzah. Of those ten conditions, I'm not going to go through all ten now, We are out of time. But right now, just from this one Gemara, one of the 10 conditions are, you load the lusos. You need a door. Not just a doorpost, but you need a door in the doorpost as well. Where does the Rambam get this halacha from? Our Gemara right over here. Our Gemara says that when Rav Nachman says to the Reish Galusa, Tali Dashe Bereshe, the way the Rambam understands the Gemara, put doors on. Meaning the doorposts were already there. It's really good pshat in the Gemara. Mm-hmm. I don't understand what it, according to Rashi, the doorposts weren't there. It's hard to understand. According to the Rambam, doorposts were over there. According to the Rambam, what's the problem? You don't have doors in there. In order for an entrance to require mezuzah, you need an actual door in the doorway. Okay, that's the Rambam's opinion. Controversial. Many people disagree with the Rambam, including the Ravid. The Ravid right there says that's not the pshat in the Gemara. Okay? But now you'll know. You walk away today saying, according to the Rambam, you need doors in the doorway. Without a door in the doorway, it's not chayv and mezuzah. How does he know that? Based on the Gemara Menachos and Daf Lamed Gimel.
Is door eligible or there must be a door? Is it an area that door eligible or there must be
a door? No, must be a door. Must be an actual door.